Beau Hanley is here to talk about his book, Hollywood Lesbians, From Garbo to Foster, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Beau.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Tell us about your book.
Well, here's what happened. In 1994, I did a book titled Hollywood Lesbians, which at the time was rather an inflammatory title, and there were criticism of it in the media, but that's what it was about, although technically it's Hollywood Lesbians and Bisexual Women as well, but that's an unwieldy title. And over the years, I've gotten at least, I stopped counting it, over 100 requests about when will there be a sequel or an update. So some months ago, we added 50% to the 10 chapters. It's now 15 chapters, updated it, and as you say, Hollywood Lesbians, From Garbo to Foster, Jodi, that is. And let me just add this, because many fans of Jodi Foster have never seen this in her publicity. Her real first name is not Jodi, it's Alicia, which is Spanish for Alice, because Jodi's mother had a live-in girlfriend whose name was Josephine Dominguez, and to the family she was known as Jo D, as in D for Dominguez. So Jodi became the youngest daughter's first name.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Well, the thing is, there are so many gay and bisexual people in Hollywood, and yet at the time, as I say, Hollywood Lesbians came out in 1994, it was almost never known, never publicized, even about the ones who were deceased, because there was always the legal fear that we don't want anyone to sue us. Because remember that Liberace, who was, after all, a gay stereotype, three times he sued for being correctly described as gay, as homosexual, and three times he won, which obviously proved that the truth didn't matter in the court. It does now, and you can no longer automatically sue just because you are described as, or quote-unquote called, lesbian or gay or bisexual. So that was one thing. Another is, my father was a history professor. He taught at the University of California, and I grew up reading history. And what often disappointed me is when even professors would not admit many great people in history were gay or lesbian. For example, every time you mention Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen of England, it is never even speculated or mentioned that she might possibly have been lesbian or not have been interested in men, and that may have been partly why she did not marry. So I thought, well, you know, if we're writing nonfiction, let's have the facts. And Hollywood did and does still have a tremendous influence on popular culture, especially on young people, including around the world. I've traveled to over 60 countries. I speak 5 languages. And the influence of Hollywood on culture, on young people, is tremendous, even more so outside of the United States, especially in developing countries. So it is very important for young lesbian, gay, bisexual people to know how many role models are, like themselves, have the same sexual orientation.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
Well, what I try to do with my books, I've published 22 books so far, is to entertain, of course, because I think they're interesting, the topics are very interesting, but also to enlighten. With show business, it's really about what is shown. It's not about reality, anything but a reality business. It's what is shown to the public. And what is shown to the public is very often propaganda. For example, always perpetuating the male-female coupling of male-female romance and excluding, and that's the thing, excluding anything gay or lesbian, anything that has to do with the same genders falling in love. And it's not, of course, just about sex. It's about romance and attraction and flirting and relationships. And isn't it excellent that Barry Manilow finally came out? I mean, he's over 70, better late than never, better never late, but on the other hand, better late than never. So it really is about informing. Most everyone is interested to some degree in show business because we do watch it and follow it to some degree. But again, it's finding out how it works and how certain things are presented and other things are not presented. For example, one thing is that when, and this holds also for historical figures, if a major figure is admired, whether it's an Alexander the Great or a Cary Grant or Katharine Hepburn, the tendency is not to admit in the general media that they were gay or lesbian. Whereas if someone is not admired, such as, say, Caligula or Nero, or Liza Minnelli's last gay husband, David Guest, who was outed by the Wall Street Journal, by the way, then there's much more of a tendency to say, oh yeah, that person was gay, that person was a homosexual, that kind of thing.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ civil rights?
Well, I realized early on that I was gay, and my parents are foreign-born, as am I myself. There were four of us, and all four of us were born in four different countries. Only my younger sister was born in the U.S., and I thought, you know, why is this not included? I mean, why is it always excluded? Because I would read about ancient Greece and about Rome, where being gay or bisexual, of course, they were very sexist societies, so women were very much at a disadvantage. But in general, sexuality and affectional orientation, it was much more honest until, you know, the three Western Asian religions came along, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and suddenly falling in love with your own gender was taboo, was punishable by death. Henry VIII in England, he's the one who made it a capital offense to be homosexual, and so on and so forth. In other words, let's be honest. When I was in high school, I had three friends who were also gay, and the thing that astounded me was, of us four guys, I was the only one willing to say what we all knew about ourselves. I'm gay. I mean, what is the big deal? The other three just didn't want to say it. And so I thought, you know, in books, I was reading books about, let's say, Truman Capote, Tennessee Williams, and most of them would do anything but admit that these men, who everyone knew were gay, it just wasn't said. It was like even the word was taboo. And I remember when I was in London, there was a bookstore called Gay's the Word. In other words, just use the word. It's a descriptive word. It's an accurate word. Just gay is the word. Say it. It's not a terrible thing. So when I did my second book, was my first gay-themed book. It was Conversations with My Elders. I had interviewed Rock Hudson, Sal Mineo, also movie directors like George Cukor, who did a major amount of classical movies, My Fair Lady, and on and on and on. And it was partly just to let the public know these men were gay, and I brought it up in each of the interviews. And later that book was reissued as Celluloid Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in a Trump administration?
Well, the most important thing for the LGBTQ community is simply to be out, to be open, because the more people that admit that they are gay, the less that can be done against us, simply from numbers. Numbers are so important. It used to be thought, back when everyone was in the closet, that hardly anyone was gay, that it was something like one person out of 100 or 1,000, you know, one freak, something like that, as opposed to being a legitimate minority, like, let's just say, left-handed people, where you don't always know, but there they are. So just coming out is the most important thing. And of course, in the case of having a leader like this who was elected by the Electoral College and not by the people, and the Electoral College is an anachronism, and it does go back to a time when the founding fathers, only fathers, no mothers, were in charge and all the injustices involved, that should not exist anymore. That's one of the things. People have to push for abolition of the Electoral College so that, as in a true democracy, the people elect their leader. That's one thing. Also about resisting, you know, in other words, write to your congressperson, resist anything that is unfair that is put out by this administration, which almost everything they are putting out is unfair. Unfortunately, there was nothing that could be done about the Supreme Court situation. But again, just being active, because this is one thing I have always believed. When you're gay, and that always includes, of course, I mean LGBTQ, you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. There's really no fence-sitting. Either you're helping move it forward simply by being out, for instance, and by, you know, writing a letter or making a phone call, sending an email, or you're in the closet, or you never do anything about it, or you say, well, that's a terrible anti-gay thing, but what are you doing about it? Are you saying anything about it? So to be more active, first of all, to be out, of course, and to be more active about it, because it doesn't take a lot of time, especially in this electronic age. So just be out there.
With LGBTQ teens already four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's presidency?
Well, the thing is, first of all, to not buy into the propaganda. And what is better than when I was growing up, let alone generations before, is that you have far more role models. And it is mentioned, you open a copy of People magazine, and there's a celebrity couple, a same-gender couple, living together, maybe adopting children, maybe not, but just being open about themselves. So that is one thing that's very good. But again, just don't buy into the propaganda, and a huge, huge amount of the propaganda is religiously based. Don't accept that any one person, dead or alive or supposedly still alive, is an arbiter of how you should feel and live and love. And don't ever rely on one book. There is no book that is entirely God's word or whatever. Either all religions are right or all religions are wrong. It's all a mixture of things. Now, coming from the international background that I do, I'm aware that there are many different peoples and religions and cultures in the world. And where I was lucky is that, for example, one time my mother had a bunch of her friends at a luncheon at our house. And my mother was from Mexico City. Her father was an army general, a diplomat, and an author. And these women were all from Latin America, and they were all well-to-do. Their husbands were mostly professors, bankers, etc. And I overheard from the kitchen, the topic was raised about homosexual men, gay men, like Leonardo da Vinci, for example. And someone was saying about a man, well, I think he's gay. I don't think he's interested in women. And I was sort of waiting for the penny to drop with the reason. And the reason that was given was, I think he's too intelligent. So I didn't come up with as much of this background about being gay as an awful thing, but it was more like, well, these men are more interested intellectually, and, you know, and referring back to ancient Greece, where there would be the man who takes this slightly younger man under his wing and educates him, as well as they fall in love, but he educates him, teaches him about the world, gives him culture and refinement, that sort of thing. So the main thing is just believe in yourself. Don't believe the propaganda. Look to positive role models, and just be aware that there is a lot of inequality and that it is an ongoing struggle. Even though we have gay marriage now, there are many rights that have not been won, and there are so many, many people who don't understand. And of course, you can't always blame heterosexuals, because if gay people don't speak up and don't define themselves and explain who they are, then the bigoted heterosexual people, which doesn't mean all of them, but the bigots will then define who we as gay people are, and they will always define us wrong and in a negative way. So the most important thing is speak up for yourself and just resist bullying and resist the bigotry of a Trump administration. And remember, too, religion is supposed to help people. It's not supposed to be used as a weapon against people, which is how the far right does use religion, as a weapon to harm people. It either should help or else forget it.
How can people get information about your book?
You can get my books basically at either any bookstore or online. They're not all the same publisher. Hollywood Gays and Hollywood Lesbians from Garbo to Foster are available via Riverdale Avenue Books, again, online or bookstores. There are others published by other publishers. I had a book that came out some months ago, Marilyn Forever, about Marilyn Monroe, and Marilyn Monroe was bisexual. She questioned her sexuality herself when she was in England making that film with Laurence Olivier, The Prince and the Showgirl, about which a film was recently made, My Week with Marilyn, which was based on a book. She went to London, and she was analyzed by Dr. Anna Freud, the daughter of Sigmund Freud, the founder of modern psychiatry. And Dr. Anna Freud determined that Marilyn Monroe was indeed either lesbian or bisexual. But of course, living at the time that Marilyn did, she had to go with men. But also, being as badly treated as she was by men, is it any wonder that she turned to women for comfort and for pleasure?
What other projects are you working on now?
Well, I'm also a longtime animal lover. I belong to over 12 animal charities, including the Doris Day Animal League. And Doris Day turned 95 this month. She is still very active with animals. And I did a book a few years ago called Holy Cow, not to be confused with a novel at the time by the actor David Duchovny. My book was all about animal words, phrases, epithets, and expressions. And Doris Day gave us a lovely blurb saying if animals could read, they'd love this. Now, this next November, I will have a book out. It'll be specifically on dogs, as opposed to Holy Cow was about the whole animal kingdom, including cats and so on. This book will be titled Life's a Pooch. And that was a very nice title chosen by the publisher, as opposed to Life's a Bitch, you know, the expression. So it'll all be celebrity quotes about dogs, everybody from Seinfeld to Jodie Foster to whoever, all about dogs, and it's called Life's a Pooch. And then also I'm working on a book about Elizabeth Taylor, whose father was gay and had so many gay friends in the business, from Rock Hudson and James Dean, on and on to the very, very closeted Michael Jackson, and who, of course, the wonderful thing about Liz Taylor is that after she was no longer viable as a leading lady in films, she turned to her wonderful AIDS work. So that's another project that I'm working on.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
You know, one of the interesting things is, first of all, I interviewed Harvey Milk about 6 weeks before he was assassinated. And he was telling me how he had recently been talking with different executives in the Bay Area. And one of them said to him, how come you gay men and lesbian women are allies? What do you have in common with each other? Gay men are interested in men, lesbians are interested in women. What's the story? And Harvey Milk said to this man, who he said to me was very bigoted, he said, what we have in common is you. In other words, the homophobia. So it's only natural that people of same gender, sexuality, and affectional orientation ally together against the tremendous bigotry against us. And the thing that I'm rarely asked about is, how is it different for lesbian stars in Hollywood from gay male stars in Hollywood? And the answer is tremendously different, because lesbians, too, have to struggle against homophobia, of course, in Hollywood and in show business and in society, and especially in Hollywood. They have to contend with the tremendous and ongoing the sexism, the ageism, and the looksism. So gay men are men, and we do live, unfortunately, still in a patriarchy, even more so now under Trump, of course, rather than President Hillary Clinton, as it would have been if it had been the people's vote that counted. Now, a gay male star, a top star, cannot come out. That would be almost death to his career. The women do have it easier. They can come out, and there aren't the same repercussions. Partly that's due to the sexism of heterosexual men are so often turned on to the idea of attractive lesbians together. So if you're a blonde female sex symbol, let us say, and you come out as being bisexual, that might not hurt your career very much. Whereas if you're a top male star and you even admit you've had a same-gender crushes or one same-gender affair when you were 19 years old, that can have grave consequences, unfortunately. More so here in the U.S. You'll notice that Barry Manilow just came out now at over 70, whereas another top singer, Elton John, or should I say Sir Elton John, came out decades ago. But the difference is he's British, he lives in England, and England and Western Europe, certainly not Eastern Europe, I know, I've been there, but Britain and Western Europe are much more gay tolerant than the United States. The religious fundamentalism does not hold the same power in those countries, nor in Australia and so on and so forth, as it does in the U.S. So anyway, that is one question that is very pertinent. And when you read Hollywood Lesbians from Garbo to Foster, you'll see whether it's a star from the past or someone more current like Ellen or Rosie or Jodie, that there is also this whole thing about what do you look like? If you aren't a beauty, then you're a comedian. You know, you're Ellen DeGeneres, although she's very nice looking. Or remember the Beverly Hillbillies, Nancy Culp was Miss Hathaway. And so she told me that she had to go into comedy because even though she planned a career in drama, her looks, the way she was cast, were such that she was always cast as a spinster, which is a sexist term, but in other words, an unmarried woman, a woman who didn't marry a man, that is. And so she played these women who had crushes on, like, Jethro in the Beverly Hillbillies, that sort of thing, or who were paired with funny-looking men, such as Wally Cox, who played a bird watcher, the president of a bird-watching club. So again, another thing in Hollywood is it's not so much about talent, it's what you look like. That determines what roles you get to play. And for women, the limitations, the pigeonholing, is much greater than for men.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Well, you know, one thing that you have to remember is whatever is going on right now is right now. This too shall pass. I was reading about somebody who had some terrible catastrophe happen to them in their life, and also was partly physical and so on. And they said at the end of it, no matter what is taken away from you in life, there is still so much more. And that's the message of hope, especially for young gay people. And of course, another thing is that we are often told when we're very, very young, this is the best part of your life. These are the best years of your life. Not at all. Those are the worst years of your life, and they will pass. But growing up is a difficult thing for anybody, let alone for somebody who's gay or lesbian. So the thing is just to look on the positive side, to look to the future, enjoy the moment, enjoy the good things in life, and to be aware that being gay is perfectly fine. And this is another thing, as I would read history or meet people here and in various countries and various languages, what is so great about being heterosexual? I mean, just being like other people, that should not be a goal in life. Well, to fit in the way you want to fit in. I mean, nobody wants to be perhaps an oddball. Maybe a few people do, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's not self-destructive. And that's another thing, not to be self-destructive. So very important. And the main thing is just to be positive and be aware that this too shall pass. And there are always good times ahead. There are always good things to enjoy in life. Life is a process. And of course, there are ups and there are downs, but I think there are more ups than downs. I think anyone would agree about that, more ups and downs in life.